You know, my dad had a saying for as long as I can remember, and I picked it up and I use it all the time. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I believe that if people would really get a hold of that statement and let it be the guiding attitude of their life, some things will be different. And I want to look at that, the significance of each part of that. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Now, that first part, God said it. Well, let's go to Psalms 118:89. Psalms 118:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now, here is the indicator that is the word, as far as God is concerned, the word is settled. It's not going to change. He spoke it, and he's not about to change it. The word of God says, I am the Lord, I change not. You know, some people are trying to add to or somehow, they say, well, let me tell you, this is what I think God meant. I've heard preachers say that. But let me tell you what. I believe God meant what he said and said what he meant, and that's all there is to it. There's no in-betweens. You know, many people have said this, but one guy, he was a critic of my dad, he actually made this statement. He said, the problem of Brother Hagin and those that believe like he does is that they take the word of God literally. That was his statement. The truth is, if people would learn to take the word of God literally for what it says, they'd find out that they have more of God's blessings in their life. You know, somebody asked, why should we take God's word literally? Well, I believe the bottom line is, if you take the word of God literally, you put yourself in the position to receive what the word of God says belongs to you. Now, look at 1 Peter 2:24. How many of you know what 1 Peter 2:24 says? Let me see. How many of you know? Oh, well, out of this whole crowd, we probably got 100 or so hands in there. The rest of you, you need to go and read that scripture if you don't know what it says. Hello? It's so funny. You can ask how many read that scripture, and you get a few people in the crowd. The rest of the people just sit there and look at you, you know. I guess they don't want to raise their hand. I don't know, because I know that more of you, I even saw some people I know that read this scripture and you didn't raise your hand. But let's look at this for a minute. He who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. Now, many people, especially the spirit-filled people and evangelicals, they have no problem with taking the first part of this scripture literally. Jesus died for our sins. They agreed to that. But those same people, some of them, have a problem with that last clause in that scripture, where it says, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, if the first part of that scripture you take literally, then you got to take that second part literally. You know? Now, the way some of them get around this is they say, well, you know, Jesus healed people spiritually when they were born again. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth than any. I mean, the Word of God says that, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. He hadn't been healed. He's new. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see, it's easy to take one part of a scripture and believe it literally, but yet leave the rest of it alone. Because you will hear some people that don't believe in speaking in tongues, they will talk about the Holy Spirit, but they leave that part out. If you want to receive the best from God, then you have to begin to take the Word of God literally. That's the only way you're going to receive the blessings from the Word of God. You know, there's no doubt in most Christians' mind, God's Word is settled in heaven. It's unchangeable. It will remain forever. But the question that you need to answer, and other people need to answer, is the Word settled in your heart? Is the Word settled in your heart? God said it. I believe it. Now, God's Word is settled in heaven. But is it settled in your heart? See, you have to decide in your heart that you believe the Word of God literally for what it says. Now, if I got your email address and I sent out an email, everyone that meets me at 3 o'clock this afternoon in the park by the gazebo, I'll give you $100. Now, out of this whole crowd, maybe 50% would take that literally and show up. Come on now. Am I right or wrong? That's what's happening with the Word of God. He has said some things, but you have to settle it in your heart. Hey, I believe that. You know, some people would talk and they say, I believe what the pastor said. I'm going to be there. Oh, you, that can't happen. Well, I tell you what, if I got an email from my son-in-law, Don Burns, over there, he's a entrepreneur and real estate and building business and all kinds of things. If I got an email from him telling me, say, meet me so-and-so, I got a $500 gift for you, I'm going to go there. You know, somebody says, oh, that couldn't happen. No way. That's the way people do the Word of God is what I'm talking about. Where was it we were supposed to meet, Don? But how many of you get the point that I'm trying to get across to you? We have to believe God's Word. Okay? Many of you work at different businesses here in town. And, you know, some of you work at the furniture store. Some of you work at the car places. You know, Greg here, one of our ushers, one of our church members for a number of years, he's in the car business. And if he was to text me on my phone, because I do have his number, and say, "Hey, Pastor, we got a big sale going on. You need to take advantage of it." Well, I'm gonna go down there and check it out. Hello. That's just, we will take other people's word literally and believe it. And yet, we want to question the Word of God. Come on now. I'm talking about settling it. It is settled. See, that's the title of this. It is settled. But is it settled with you? Have you ever talked to some people that they believe certain portions of the Bible, but other portions they leave alone? And they say, "If it's God's will, he'll heal me." Well, but if you take them back where he told the man, came to ask for healing, and if you can heal me if you will, and he said, "I will," right? The leper man. They still would say, "Well, now wait a minute. That was this time. Now you don't know whether it's his will to heal you or not, so you can't believe for healing. If it's his will, he'll give it to you." Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Mark 11:24, we all know it, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you asked when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." You can read that to some people and they start telling you all the reasons why that's not, couldn't happen. Well, you can't expect to receive from God by believing only part of what he said. Hello. Don't look at me like that. You've got to believe God's word and ask. Now, you know, some people got the idea that if you ask, you have to keep asking over and over and over and over again. You know, kids, sometimes kids are like that. They wear their parents down by continually just, "Oh," I heard some people laughing, so they must know what I'm talking about. Craig's not here. He's preaching in Brazil somewhere this morning. He did graduation there. I think he did 3 graduations already. But that boy, what'd you say, Lynette? Yeah, he's a master at it, she says. Yeah, he wanted the Apple come out with a computer when he was in the 7th grade, one of the first computers. That boy, he hounded. He didn't go to me as much as he went to his mother, because he knew she's the one that buys everything. And he hounded her until finally she said, "Come on." And they went and they bought it. Some people think that's the way you got to do with God. You got to just keep hounding him until he finally gets tired and says, "Okay, I'll get it for you." You know, God doesn't work that way. He expects you to come to him believing and asking and receive. You know, to receive salvation, you had to believe in salvation. To receive healing, you got to believe for healing. To receive deliverance, you got to believe for that. Protection, provision, you know, about whatever you want to name that he says belongs to you in this word, you got to believe for it. Some people say God's word is forever settled in heaven and he's in control. And I thank God that if he wants me to have it, I'll get it. Well, it don't automatically work like that. You have to believe, ask and believe for it personally. You know, some people pray when they're praying to God, and when they ask, it's ambiguous. You don't know exactly what they're asking for. My dad used to, when he was pastoring church, and he would go, we had altars down the front. Everybody come down the front to pray at the altar. And people would be down there praying, and he'd go down there and he'd tap somebody on the shoulder and say, "What are you praying for?" "Oh, nothing in particular, Brother Hagin." And I've heard him say it. "Well, that's what you're going to get, nothing in particular." See, you got to ask God. The Word of God has the potential to work for you, but you're going to have to make it. I know many times with in different fields, especially in athletic fields, somebody say, "He really has potential." But you know what? That potential will never develop unless he works hard in the practice field. Anybody ever been there? Any of you ever been on a team where a coach said, "So-and-so," talking to you, said, "So-and-so's got a lot of potential, but he's not willing to develop it." Hello? All of you know I ran track in high school. You know what? I realized that I could run pretty fast. But you know what? Everybody go, coach say, "Okay, go to the locker room. See you tomorrow." Well, they all go to the locker room to get showered and ready to go home. You know what I do? I stay out there. I would run a 220 hard as I could. We already been practicing for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then I'd walk a 220, and then I'd run. That's 220 yards for you people that are in the metric system. I'm not in that. I don't even know how to work it. And then I would walk another 220. I'd sprint another 220. I might do 10 of those. But I'll tell you what, in the state track meet when we were running the 880 relay, and I'm running my leg, and I come off that corner and I see Lanky down there waiting for the baton, and about 20 yards from him or so, maybe 30, I begin to see white spots, and my body was screaming. I was out of breath. I couldn't seem to get a breath. I was sucking air, but it wasn't helping a whole lot. But I just kept going because those extra times of practice. See, you've got to get in the Word and you got to work it. You got to work the Word. I knew that if I was going to be good, I had to build up my stamina. I had to work at it. If you're going to, you got to get in the Word of God and meditate and think the Word and think the Word and think about it. Let me ask you a question. If you didn't have a Bible, didn't have your phone, how much word could you put out? Hello? Now, I can talk about a lot of scriptures. Now, I may not be able to give you the reference, but I know what the scripture says. See, in life situations, there are many scriptures that you can store in your heart, like a computer stores stuff. And when you need it, you can go bring it up. If you've stored and meditated on the Word of God, read the Word and meditated on the Word of God, and you hit one of those situations, it's like hitting that button on a computer to recall, and immediately it comes up. Anytime I hear somebody saying something that they're talking about, bad about Raymond, making some statements, I immediately begin to say, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Hello. See, the Word of God comes out. Hello. Now, you know, when you're under pressure and you don't have the Word of Bible with you, that's when you find out how much Word you got in you. When the pressure comes, when the situation is there. And some people that are always talking the Word, when they get under pressure, they, instead of the Word coming out, oh, what am I going to do now? Well, if you got the Word in you and you believe what it said, God said it, I believe it, then you're going to have, instead of saying, what am I going to do, you're going to say what the Bible says. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Is it settled in your heart? You know, you ever been out to eat with somebody or been with them and they can't make up their mind. They can't settle in on any one thing. And they order, the next person orders, and the other say, oh, hey, change mine. And then another part, oh, yeah, I believe, hey, just add some whatever, add to that. That's the person that can't ever settle on anything. You know. One time Lynette, his grandparents had given Craig money for his birthday, I think, both sets of grandparents. My mom, dad, and her mom, dad. And so she took him to Toys R Us. And she said probably a lot of mothers wouldn't do it, but she kept working with him. It took him 2 hours, I think, to finally decide what he wanted to get. He couldn't say, he would see something he likes, but he would go down the aisle, oh, I like this better. And he couldn't make up his mind what he wanted. You know, we have to settle in our minds and in our hearts. Now you say, your mind? Yeah, because the Word of God said, renew your mind. Renew your mind with the Word so it thinks in line with the Word of God instead of in line with what's going on. All right? We need to get the Word settled in our heart and our minds. And when we face the situations, we know what we want. Remember Mark 10:46, blind Bartimaeus? Jesus came by and he began to holler at Jesus. Well, you know what? He knew what he wanted because he knew who Jesus was. And Jesus said, okay, come here. When he got there, Jesus said, what do you want? And I'm going to paraphrase it in our language. He said, I want to see. And Jesus said, okay, go your way. Your faith made you whole. And I take that because, you see, once he heard that it was Jesus, he began to ask him, hey, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But then when Jesus asked him what he wanted, he didn't hesitate. He immediately said, I want to see. when the pressures come on you, you see, the Word of God has already got the answer for you. So all you got to do is take the Word and go away with whatever it is you need. See, when the Word is settled in your heart, then you know what you're going to get. Because He's already said it right here. He knew that he was going to get healing because he had heard about this Jesus. Now, he had heard, had to have, the Bible doesn't say it, but he had to have heard that this Jesus was going about healing those that were oppressed of the devil. So, when you, in your heart, have settled it, once and for all, I believe. Now, some of us guys are this way. I don't know what lay it. But you have somebody just continually harassing you and giving you trouble until your back gets against the wall and you say, all right, come on, we're going to settle this once and for all. Anybody ever been there besides me? Got a lot of guys. Hey, with the Word settled in your heart on an issue, that's the same way you tell Mr. Devil, I've settled this once and for all, so get out of here. You know, sometimes people have to go to a court and because of a conflict, and then when the court issues a statement, the matter is settled. That's it. Well, the high court of heaven has already declared the promises of God are yours through Jesus Christ. That's it. It's been decreed. It's a law set down. And it does not change because God said, I don't change. If he made the decree, he's not going to change it. With the Word settled in your heart, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. Everybody say it with me. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Hallelujah. I don't know. I just started thinking about that. I hope you got something out of that, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people will say they believe the Word of God, but they don't have it settled in their heart that they can have what the Word says. And so they wonder why they don't get it. Hello. Praise the Lord.